Amen. Thank you, Stacy. As she was singing, I couldn't help but think of Mrs. Horton's testimony of in the prison camp, knowing that there were people praying. And I hope that as you know, just like in our news, women taken captive again, large group of women, do you pray for these people, Christians? Being persecuted in other countries, do you pray for these people? Folks that are struggling and suffering, do you pray for them? And we need to pray. Amen. We need to pray. And Jesus said we also need to watch. That's what he said in our passage. He said, watch. That day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. Watch and pray. Verse 35, he said, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh. Watch. Could be at even, could be at midnight, could be in the morning, or it could be before that when the cock crows. Watch, he said. Could be any time. Watch. And then verse 37, what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Our problem is we're asleep, and it's hard to watch when you're asleep. Our problem is we're too busy, and so it's hard to watch when we got all these other things going on. And the worldly affairs, the different things that are going on in our lives, it's hard to watch the things of God. But he told us very clearly. People always, Pastor, I'm just waiting on God to show me His will. Well, there's so many things that He's already shown you. You're looking for some writing across the sky. Well, here's something He told us to do. It's very clear. There's no way to misinterpret. He just said, watch. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. There's a lot going on. I personally think the Lord's coming soon, and I know. And here's our problem. We've heard that. We who've been saved now for quite a few years, we remember the 70s and 80s when there was all that preaching. The planets are going to line up and all this, and then, well, it didn't happen, and then the one guy wrote his book, and what a dummy to buy a book that predicts when Jesus is coming when he said clearly, nobody knows. So the only one that could write that book would be the Father. He's the only one that knows. That's what the Bible says. And he already wrote his book, and we have it. It's called the Bible. And he didn't tell us when he's coming. But boy, it just seems like. It's hard to imagine him not coming soon. And yet he may not. And yet he may. So what do we do? Well, if I only knew. But that's the whole point. We don't know. And so what do? We watch. We watch. It reminds me of when I was very young and my grandparents, they lived, to me it seemed like a long way away. In reality, it was only like 15, 20 miles away. And they would come for every holiday, and they would come at different times. But I remember especially on Christmas, because Grandma and Grandpa, when they came, they always brought gifts. And when they came, it meant we got to open gifts. And I can still remember just looking out the window. I mean, as soon as the sun started to come up, I'm looking out the window watching for Grandma and Grandpa to come. And because I loved my Grandma and Grandpa, but I also loved what they brought. And, that's what the Lord is saying, watch, watch. Father, please bless the preaching. Help us to know that day and that hour could come this day, this hour. It could be very, very soon. Help us to understand that today, and help us more than ever to watch and to be ready for that day and that hour. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. That day and that hour. I believe, again, the Lord is coming soon. I believe the rapture is the next thing on the calendar of the Lord. And again, we have no idea. We don't know when that event is going to take place. I believe it is very, very soon. And it's going to happen like that. It's not going to be something we're going to be able to plan about. It's not going to be something that we're going to be able to, let me get all my things in order. Again, thinking of Mrs. Horton's testimony, and if you had 24 hours, if the officials told you have 24 hours to get all your things in order, pack everything that you can in 24 hours, and you're going to be taken off to a camp somewhere, what would you do? Well, you're not even going to have 24 hours as far as the rapture. It's just going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It's going to happen. There's not going to be a warning. There's not going to be anything that we can do. We can't get everything in order. We need to have everything in order now. And the rapture is the next event to take place, I believe. And when that takes place, all the believers, all the saved people will simply be gone. Period. Just gone. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. That is the message that I heard. I heard many messages when I was growing up before I got saved, but that was the message that God used to get a hold of my heart, and then I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior because I did not want to be left behind. And if you could just imagine you're here today and you've never been saved, you're not sure you're going to heaven. If the rapture took place, do you understand that most of the folks in this room would be gone? This guy would be gone. Amen? I mean, I'm gone. And most of the people would be gone. And this is the thing. As a teen boy, I sat and I looked around and I thought, wow, that's not very groovy. And I thought I would be maybe the only one left behind. And of course, many of you remember the film from back in those days called Left Behind. And then there's been a series of books written about that and everything. But the rapture, when it takes place, then there will be 7 years of tribulation. Now again, so many people have said, well, and you'll talk to people and they'll say, well, if the rapture takes place, I'll go through the tribulation, I'll get saved. My Bible says God will send a strong delusion and you'll believe a lie. And by the way, if you won't get saved now, today, if you won't get saved when the majority of people would say, praise the Lord at your getting saved, the majority of people would be thrilled right here that you got saved. Do you really think you're going to get saved during a tribulation where Christians' heads are going to be cut off? No, if you reject Christ now, you're not going to get saved then. There will be people saved in the tribulation, but there are people that have not heard the gospel before the rapture takes place. 7 years tribulation will take place, and then of course the Lord Jesus will come, and he'll come with his army, and I'll be part of that army, and we'll be riding on horses out of heaven. And that's always an exciting thought to me. Number one, I've never liked riding horses. I've never felt good about riding horses. Number two, I can't imagine flying a horse. But it'll all be under the Lord's control, and I'm sure in the 7 years there'll be some training on all that. And everything will be all right. There'll be the Battle of Armageddon. We're talking about that in our Revelation class. And we're going to find out, again, the Battle of Armageddon is not much of a battle. Jesus speaks. Amen. And he always could speak. And everything is over. But, he's God. He comes back as Lord of Lords, King of Kings. And, of course, then the millennium and all those things. But the rapture, it's coming. I want to talk to you about that day and that hour from this passage of Scripture. It says in verse 32, of that day and that hour knoweth no man. Can't put it on the calendar. I'd love to, folks. I'd put it today. Maybe I'd put it yesterday. Maybe I'd put it, well, no, I wouldn't put it before Bible school now that it's over. I would have put it before Bible school before it started, but I'm glad we had our Bible school. I'm just saying, knoweth no man. We don't know. We can't tell you what day it is. It says the angels don't know, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. We don't know. It could be any time. Another passage says it's an hour when you think not. And I can't imagine a time like that any more than today, because people aren't even thinking about it. I'm talking about Christians aren't even thinking about it. Christians have their own thing going on today. So many have their own thing going on. Now, I understand, and I'll talk to our teenagers sometime. I understand a teenager saying, you know, Pastor, I'd like to grow up, go to college, get married, and have that life. And I understand them being just a little hesitant about the Lord coming and everything. And I understand when a teen, I don't get on them and say, oh, that's wicked and vile. But I'm serious. Somebody that is my age, somebody who's older, somebody, you know, the older we get, the more excited I am about the Lord coming, about that day and that hour. And clearly, it's an hour when you think not. And I think most of the world today, and I mean, I'm including Christians, they're not even thinking about Jesus coming. Now, there are some folks who are being persecuted. They're thinking about it. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, at work they make fun of you. That's not persecution. I'm not talking about where your family says, don't talk to me about that. That's not I'm talking about people that are suffering today. They're thinking about it, but by far the majority of our world, it's just not even a blip on their radar, you know? An hour when you think not. But understand, it is any time. The word we use is imminent. That means it could happen any time. And there are many, many passages of Scripture where our Lord tells us, watch, and our Lord tells us, be ready. Be ready. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. My Bible says, prepare to meet thy God. If you've never trusted Christ, you need to trust Christ. You need to get saved, because that day and that hour, it is imminent. It could happen anytime. Anytime. It's a challenge for everybody. It's a challenge for wealthy folks. It's a challenge for poor folks. It's a challenge for sick people. It's a challenge for healthy people. It's a challenge for someone who has failed, and it should spur them on to succeed. It's a challenge for those who are suffering, because heaven is very, very soon. Just the sound of the trumpet. Amen. And then, of course, it's a challenge to those who are mad with the idea of making lots and lots of money, because when the rapture takes place, I think all your money drops down and just remains here. Don't think your checkbook's going to mean anything in heaven. Don't think your change is going to mean anything. Don't think your wallet's going to mean anything. Certainly your credit cards are no good in heaven. The only thing that I think we'll be able to use is our Price Saver cards. Well, maybe not. But none of that is going to matter, you know, when we go in the rapture. It's a challenge to the worldly Christian, because there's no worldliness in heaven. Amen. It's not going to be in heaven. Well, you know, I just want to do my own thing. Well, you may want to do your own thing, and God hadn't struck you down yet with a lightning bolt or anything like that. But in heaven, we're all going to be doing His thing. And you know what? We ought to start doing His thing here. In earth, as it is in heaven. That's how we should live. Amen. Amen. That's good stuff. But you see, it's a challenge for someone who's discouraged, because you can look. Lift up your eyes. Your redemption draweth nigh. Praise God. You know, you say, oh, it's just so discouraging. Well, you know, that day and that hour, it's going to change everything. That day and that hour, all discouragement's gone. That day and that hour, all fear is gone. That day and that hour, for the Christian, for the one who's living for the Lord, you know what? It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful day. And if you're here without Christ, understand, it's going to be the worst day. Not the worst day, but it'll be one of the worst days of your life. You ought to consider today. You ought to let it be a challenge to you. Let me give you some things about this, and then we'll give you a challenge of the invitation. Number one is, I wrote down the word consideration. Consideration. It is something we must think about. He said, take ye heed, verse 33. Think about it. Take heed. This isn't something just to brush off. This is not something that we can just read it and then say, oh, that's cute, and move on. Take heed, he said. Consideration. Consider this thing. Jesus said this. He said, that day, that hour, it will take place. It is going to happen. Satan cannot stop it. The world cannot stop it. The Antichrist can't stop it. No one is going to be able to stop it. It will take place, just like God said. Take heed, Jesus said. Take heed. Watch and pray. Take heed. Watch and pray. Oh, Boy, do we ever get, it gets our attention whenever they say, tornado watch. What do? We watch. How many of you get text alerts now? Oh, yeah, all over the place. Oh, we're technologically advanced, aren't we? I don't even know how I get text alerts. I think David set it up. I don't know, but I get text alerts. The other day, I think it was during choir practice, and all of a sudden, everybody's looking at their phone, you know? and tornado coming. And Brother Hammerstrom just says, "Up, we're singing, bless God, don't you move." But we'd sing through the tornado, amen, because choir's that important. But you know, what do? They say, tornado watch, we watch. Jesus says, watch, and we say, "Ugh, I got too much going on. I'm tired. I don't want..." Hey, watch. Take heed. Take heed. Consideration. Hey, what could you consider? Well, let's consider some things today. First of all, how about considering all that Jesus has done for us? He's coming again. The one who has done so much for us, he's coming again. By the way, the rapture beats death, I would think. Somebody amen or something. I can't imagine I would make that statement and we'd all just go, seriously. I mean, death is not, I can't think of anything. Now again, I've not died, so I don't really know what it's like, but it just seems like the rapture. Although, obviously, going up through the roof, that's got to be a blessing considering all the mess we've had with roofs. We had private piltweed come through the roof, through the baptistry the other day. Boy, isn't that amazing? Got it all fixed and everything just in time for church. But think about it. All that God has done, all that Jesus has done, and we've sang the songs over and over again. I want to see my Savior first of all, and we'll see Him. All that He's done for us. Think about it. It's going to be a surprise visit. It's kind of like that aunt or uncle or grandma or grandpa or somebody that you have not seen for a long, long time, but they've been sending you gifts or they've sent you letters or they've done this or they've done that, and mom and dad have told you all about them, and all of a sudden they show up, and it's like, wow, it is so good to see you. I got news for you. When we see Jesus, we'll say, it is so good to see you. That's why we have the Lord's Supper. He said, you know, you're going to have a hard time remembering me. Isn't that sad? It's hard to believe that we would have a hard time. Oh, we remember the baseball score. Oh, we remember the schedule of our football team. Oh, we remember all those things. It's amazing that Jesus Christ would have to tell us, remember me. But we do. And I was thinking the other night as we had the Lord's Supper, I was thinking, He could come. He could come anytime. The one who saved me, the one who's kept me, the one who has blessed me, He could come. Oh, consider the greatness of this event. Have you ever thought about the rapture? Mrs. Horton talked about how when the plane circled around the POW camp and they saw the American flag on that, and they, you know, for some, it's like, oh yeah, we see the American flag all the time. I'm going to tell you something. To her, that was an unbelievable sight. Unbelievable sight. I got news for you. When Jesus comes and the rapture takes place and He'll be in the clouds, oh, let me tell you something. That event, that's the greatness. That's what this book's all about. You know, that's what it's all about, folks. It's His story. It's all about Him. And consider that we could be the generation that goes up in the rapture. Wow. You know, we're going through the book of Revelation in Sunday school, and it's all about revealing Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but it's also all about unmasking the dragon, you know, who comes as an angel of light. And boy, I'll tell you, during the tribulation, people will see Him for what He really is. And it isn't pretty at all. Oh, listen, the more and more, and by the way, it should be obvious to us, the more I'm in this book, the more I'm on my knees, the more I get to know Jesus, the more obvious Satan and his work is to me. And it's all around us. Amen. Go ahead, just nod your head if you can't. Amen. It'll be okay. But I'm just saying, we need to think about it today. Consider, consider. Consider that we're going to face him. Consider that today. Consider, believer, that there is a judgment seat of Christ. And though we're not going to be judged for our sin, our life is going to be put through the fire. And whatever is sinful or wrong or inferior, it is called wood, hay, and stubble, and it will all burn up. And I wonder how many people, that's most of their life. But you'll be saved, the Bible says, yet so as by fire. But you'll think, well, at least I made it. Boy, if you're thinking that today, you're in for a big disappointment. Because the way we say thank you to Jesus is with what's left over, the gold, the silver, the precious stones, and the rewards that we receive that we cast at his feet. Because it's not about us anyway. It's totally about him. Oh, listen, you're going to face him. I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? I always, at the end of Vacation Bible School, I stop. And, of course, the other day I came up on the platform, and for some odd reason there were marshmallows. And I thought, what in the world did Captain Courageous and the gang do? And there were marshmallows. But I always stop and I say, Lord, did we do our best? Did we do our best? Oh, we ought to want to do our best, folks. Amen. Hey, did we do our best? Did you do your best when you sang? Did you do your best when you taught? Did we do our best? We're going to face him someday. I know it just seems like, well, but. You know, I'm just kind of getting along and I'm doing, you know, but someday when you look in his eyes, consider, take heed, consider if you're not saved, you're going to be left behind. That's the thing, as I drove from Bluffton, Indiana back to Marion, Indiana, about 45-minute drive that night, it was over 2 hours, nearly 3-hour drive. As I drove home, having heard about the rapture, having heard about being left behind, it was that thought that kept me pulling over on my trip and stopping and weeping and calling out, God, I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to go to hell. And over, pulling over because I couldn't see because the tears were flowing down my face. And then when I got home, kneeling by my bed and crying out for God to save my wicked, filthy soul. That's the thought you ought to have today. It's what you ought to consider today if you're not saved. Please, don't just push it aside. Don't just think it's going to be okay. Don't think, well, I'll do it some other time. Today is the day. Why? Because you don't know when he's coming. That day and that hour, it could be any time. Consideration. Take heed, he said. Number two is the word expectation. Expectation, because he says in verse 33, take heed, but he also says, watch. Watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. Expectation, watch, like you're expecting something to happen. I'm so fearful that many of God's people come to church Sunday after Sunday and never expect anything. Do you understand that we serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one that can do anything, the one that made this world, created this universe, and we expect so little from him? And so we don't pray. And yet he said, watch and pray. Expectation. Something, expecting something to happen. Turn, if you will, keep your place here, but go to 1 Thessalonians 5. I couldn't talk about this without going to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. I mean, if you know the thief is coming, What are you going to do? If you know the thief is coming, why? We should, no Christian should ever be caught off guard. You say, but we don't know what day. Then live like you don't know what day and live right every day. That's the whole idea. Hear all the children of light and the children of the day. We're not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And what are we doing? We just let him in our house. We just open the door. We just turn on the TV. We just turn on the internet. We just look up anything. We just do this. We go there. We talk to. We, instead of what God said, watch, expecting something. It's like when you set the alarm. Why do you set the alarm? Well, because I want to get, by the way, you folks that use the snooze, pity, pity, pity. Anyway, but I'm not mad at you. I just, anyway. But you said, why do you set the alarm? I set the alarm for 8 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, some of you do. I set the alarm. Well, whatever time you set the alarm for, and we'll not decide what's good, what's bad, but whatever time when you set, you expect it to go off, right? You ever, you know that when they started making alarms at AM and PM, did that ever mess anyone up? Yeah, I know. But you expect that alarm to go off. And you're, you know, when it goes off, you don't say, oh, I just can't believe my alarm went off. You expected the alarm to go off, right? And what do? You hit snooze. No, you get up. Yeah. It's like it says here. Okay, if you know a thief is coming, what are you going to do? If you know it's going to happen, It's like if you know there's going to be an inspection. I've told the story about working at the gas station years ago when we had to, it wasn't self-serve. And I know there's several groups of folks that have no idea what I'm talking about. You know, you mean people actually waited on you? Oh, yeah, I did. I waited on people. We had to go to the window and we had to say, Would you like me to fill it? In fact, we were inspected to say, fill her up. Why? Because they made more money filling it up. Remember when you could teenagers would drive through and say, give me a dollar's worth. Today they'd be like, shh. Can you imagine? I mean, I remember many times teenagers pulling through, give me a dollar's worth, you know? And you say, well, if it was only a dollar's worth, what'd you do? I had to wash every window. Why? Because somebody was going to inspect me. They were watching. They were inspecting. They would pull over in the grocery store and they would park the car and they would watch us to make sure we're not only going around washing the windshield, we're washing side windows. We have to ask, check the oil. You know, you say, now that was when it was warm, right? That was when it was below zero. I remember taking my little squirt bottle, remember squirt bottles, and squirting the fluid on the windshield to wash it, and it freezing on the windshield. Yeah, it's a pain. Then you have to scrape it, you know. And for a dollar's worth? Yeah. And but you know, what happened was we had another station on the north side of town, and they would call, and they'd say, the inspectors are out. Boy, were we good then. I mean, we did everything perfect then. I mean, we not only wash windshields and side windows, we wash mirrors. I mean, we'd scrape bugs off the headlights, you know? And why? Because there's an inspection. And again, you know, we say, but preacher, if I knew when he was coming, and he says, watch. Could be any time. But we ought to expect it. We ought to expect it. There should be an expectation because God said so. God's word is true. Now, an unsaved person, the Bible says, a natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He can't understand. He needs light. He needs to be scared into knowing, hey, this is going to happen someday. But as a Christian, come on, folks. God doesn't lie. He said he's coming. We just kind of pass it off like, well, I don't know. Again, it should never shock us that unsaved people aren't talking about this. You know what ought to shock us? That Christians aren't talking about it. That ought to shock us. Expectation that there'd be a warning. Didn't God warn Adam and Eve? You know, he told them how to live, what to do. Didn't God warn Noah and told Noah, warn the people? We often say, well, if I just knew ahead of time when he's coming, you do. You do know ahead of time when he's coming. Because this is ahead of time. Because he hadn't come yet. Are you listening? Well, you say, yeah, but I want to know specific. You do know specific. He's coming. And it could be today. The question is, are you ready? There should be an expectation. He has warned us. He has warned us. And you know, he's warned us about sin. And over and over and over, and we have it in the Word of God, that sin is always the same, and it always brings the same result. And it's going to burn you every time, as it's burnt me every time. And we've had the warning. There should be an expectation that the Lord is going to come and he's going to deal with these things. Just as this passage talks about, the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey. But he's coming back. And there should be an expectation of prophecy. All the preaching about the coming of Christ. But there's been so many false predictions, we fell for it. I'm not going to ask how many of you bought the book, 79 Reasons Why Jesus Must Come in 79. I think that was what it was. I don't remember. We won't ask how many bought the book. And I'm not as upset about you buying that book as I am about the next one that was 80 Reasons Why He Must Come in 80 by the same author. I mean, you may be a dummy one time, but to be a dummy two times. Yeah. But you see, the prophecy is so clear in Scripture. We don't know when. No date's given. But if it's soon, as it says in Revelation, if he's coming quickly like he said, then we have to believe that 2,000 years later, it's got to be soon. Certainly sooner now than it was then. Do you understand that the church at Thessalonica that we just read about, churches in the early churches, do you understand they were looking for him? Those Christians were looking for him. Seems like we'd be looking for him. Expectation. God's prophecy is not a prediction. It's a promise. It's a promise. It's going to happen. Number one, I mentioned the word consideration. Take heed. Number two, expectation. Watch and pray. Number three is preparation. Preparation. Why? Because verse 33 says, ye know not when the time is. You don't know. You don't know when. So what do you have to do? It's like when mom and dad left. And you were finally old enough to be left home alone or with your siblings. Remember that first time? And here's what they said. They said, okay, we're going to go do this. Clean your room before I get back. Remember? And so as soon as they walked out the door, you immediately got the dust rag, whatever that stuff's called, in dust or whatever it was. Is that a name? And you got all the stuff, you got the vacuum cleaner out, and you immediately cleaned your room, right? We never did we? What'd we do? We played. Always. And every now and then it was kind of, Mom and Dad's going to be home soon. Yeah. But, and sure enough, what happened? It happened to me pretty much every time. There they were. And my room was, if not worse, it was the same as when they told me that they were going to go and they were going to return and it better be clean. And what'd that mean? That meant the little red paddle. Always. Yeah, phooey on timeouts back in those days. I'd have given anything for a timeout. I got wore out. We don't know. You know, and I used to say as a kid, Dad, how long are you going to be gone? Son, I'm not going to tell you how long I'm going to be gone. You just do what you're supposed to do, and then when I return, everything will be happy. If you don't do what you're supposed to do when I return, it won't be a joyous occasion. And most of the time, it wasn't. Hey, our Lord is coming for us. He said over and over, be ready. He said over and over, watch. Ye know not, but if I'm watching, I know, wow, it's got to be soon. Sure seems like it. 1 Corinthians 3, turn there if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire, made reference to it a while ago. And how much we will want to honor our Lord on that day, that hour. Do you understand when the rapture takes place, it's finished. Your work on this earth, that which you and I can receive reward for, it's done. Oh, if I'd adjust, and there won't be any time for doing any of that. It needs to be done. I was thinking, boy, this would be a great time for Jesus to come after the fair, Shepherd's Bible School, Children's Bible School. Yeah, wow, that'd be a great time. I thought it'd be a great time for Jesus to come when we're out knocking on somebody's door. I thought for a bus worker, it'd be a great time when you've got a whole bunch of kids on the bus and the Lord come then. I thought, what a great time for the Lord to come while we're having a church service, just preaching the Word of God, or a Sunday school hour, or shepherd's ministry going on. Or I've just always thought it'd be wonderful for Jesus to come while I'm busy doing what He told me to do. You say, well, preacher, you don't know what day. Well, I just know it's that day and that hour. That means I need to be busy doing what I'm supposed to do every day. All the time. Amen. Jesus said in John 17, that great, great prayer, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. That's what I want to say. I want to say I finished the work that you gave me to do. You say, well, preacher, if I only knew when. Well, you do know. You know it's going to come sometime. Whether you die or whether Jesus comes, that day, that hour, it's going to come. Watch. Be ready. Be ready. If you're not saved, if all of a sudden believers vanish, this room is empty. I've thought of it many, many times during services, and you're left behind. You'd believe the lie of the devil. If you lived through 7 years tribulation, which there's a good possibility you would not, but the only thing that you have would be hell for all eternity. And the only time to get it right, the only time to get saved is now. It's before. You think about all the folks that watched as Noah built that ark, and they laughed. There's crazy Noah, crazy guy. What a nut! And they mocked until the clouds rolled in and the rains came down. But by then, the Lord shut the door. And I believe with all my heart, when we do see the ark someday, we will see scratch marks along the side where people did all they could to get on board too late. My friend, if you're not saved when the rapture takes place, it's too late. That's why today is the day to be saved. Number one, consideration. Number two, expectation. Number three, preparation, because you know not. Number four, the last thing is the application. And it's really quite simple. Verse 34 says this, "The Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch." And I call your attention to the middle of that verse, "to every man his work." What can I do? His work. He gave authority to his servants and to every man his work. Whatever work it is. I don't know what it is. Your work. The work that God has for you to do. It could be listening to little children say Bible verses, as so many of our folks did this last week. It could be maybe you'd want to do that in a Sunday school class as well. Could be a bus ministry. It could be coming down to this altar and surrendering your life to be a missionary for the rest of your life. That's your work, if that's God's call. It could be teaching a Sunday school class. Could be, well, I need to be in the choir. It could be any number of things. Could be going out soul winning every week. Could be surrendering your life to get a CDL and drive a bus, because we need drivers. To every man his work. The application is, it's time to do the work now. I like the song, "Work for the Night is Coming, when man can work no more." Now's the time. Now's the time. I think of the opportunities we've just had. But it's not over, because there's more opportunities. As long as there's lost people out there, there's opportunities. As long as there's shepherds. As long as there's little kids. As long as there's teenagers. You know, we are the first ones to say, oh, you know, all this drug use and all the alcoholics and all that mess out there and sex and everything else. And well, as long as all that's going on, aren't we needed? Seems like we would be. But again, I'm not telling you what it is. It's just every man his work. Whatever it is God has for you to do, it's time to do it. That's the application, because now's the time to do it. I close with Romans 13 and verse 11. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. Great passage of Scripture. "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Why? Well, because in heaven we won't have that flesh. And boy, we need to get ready, because he's coming. That day, that hour, it could be this day, could be this hour when Jesus returns. Could this be the last invitation that you ever sit through, stand through, hear? Could this be the last time? Could this be the last opportunity you have to get saved? Could this be the last opportunity you have to say, "God, I'll do whatever you want me to do"? Could it be the last opportunity to surrender? Could it be the last opportunity to say, "God, I'm sorry, I failed, I did this, please forgive me and help me to do right"? Could it be the last time before it is that day, that hour? Let's bow our heads.